Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
There we go. So yeah, good morning. Good morning, thank you. I'm Ryan Lidstone. Today we're, as you heard, we're continuing in the Life of David series, and this morning we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 to 23. We'll get there in a little bit, but if you want to prime up your Bible, you can do that. First, though, I wanted to talk quickly about one of the themes that appears in this passage. It's kind of relevant to where we're at in history, I guess, today, and that's the idea of, in this passage, one of the big themes that I'll be talking about today that we'll be talking about is about bringing our whole selves, right? That it's not just about our skills, but about bringing our spirit-filled selves. And I believe this is especially important these days, given that there's so many, let's say, opportunities where our machines, whether it's AI or our phones or even our cars, can do a lot of the work that would traditionally be would traditionally be in the domain of what we do as people, right? We're sort of being replaced by our machines in certain good ways, and in certain ways where it's like, no, this is something that we need to bring ourselves. And the difficulty that can happen is that we forget that it's like, yeah, we do play an important part. And even if we can't always see that, it's like we want to bring ourselves. We might not talk, I'll probably bring it up a couple times, but the main theme is not about technology, but as we talk about this stuff, just think about in your life about how even though technology many times can do things better than we do it, it's like we still want to bring ourselves, who we are, to everything that we do. The idea is that we recognize that our humanity adds value that isn't always instantly obvious, right? But before we do go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for what a beautiful day it is here in Victoria. I think of our friends that are joining us online. Please bless them as well. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open your word today, that your Holy Spirit would be at work here for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's start with let me give you a quick overview of our story for today. So the ancient Israelites had, I turned 50 recently, and so I got a special mug from a friend, right? Thank you. and this is my 50 mug. okay, so the ancient Israelites had, they told God, they said, hey, we want a king. And God said, well, I'm your king, and you don't need a king. And they insisted. He said, no, we really want a king. So God said, okay, I'll give you a king. And he gave them King Saul. And in many ways, Saul was good. He had lots of good qualities and characteristics. But he also had some, he didn't do everything right, just like all of us. And ultimately, unfortunately, God rejected him as king. He didn't reject him as a person, but he said, no, he rejected him as king. And the big thing, kind of reading in some of the stories, it seemed that Saul's thing was he was more focused on pleasing the people, not as a people pleaser, but maybe from a king perspective, right? Trying to please the people rather than trying to please God. And so God rejected him as king, and he dispatched Saul to find a new king, or to anoint a new king. This new king was David, a young man, a shepherd, son of Jesse in Bethlehem. And in this anointing of the new king, that sort of locked in the rejection of Saul as king. So David was anointed by oil and the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And if you aren't familiar with David, he's the beginning of the line of kings from which Jesus eventually descends. He's a shepherd, and he wrote many of the Psalms in the Bible. He's the most, his story is the one that we get to see the most of his humanity, I would suggest. So this anointing, it didn't put David on the throne just yet. In fact, King Saul didn't know that David had been anointed, and it's not clear whether David fully knew what this anointing was about. I'm sure he knew that he'd been anointed, but as king, it's not, the text isn't clear whether or not he fully understood what this anointing was about. But reading the story, we know that, yeah, David's going to become the king, and of course, God knows that David is becoming the king. So he's anointed, but he's not on the throne yet. And and this feeds into our text for today, starting in verse 14. David is serving Saul. We'll go through this section in a second, but watch for this. The anointed king is serving the failed king, right? And of course, this is bursting with significance, this servant leader idea, which is one of the big themes in this passage. Here's David, the anointed king, serving Saul, the rejected king, and this fits. I think we know how to do this in our own lives. We know servant leadership. The idea isn't so much that David is serving so he can learn the ropes and work his way up, right? It's more of a, hey, David is becoming a leader, and we know that as leaders, part of what we do is we serve the people that we lead. So we've got this servant leadership idea that exists throughout this passage. And then another big idea that shows up here is the concept of already not yet. And this is a big idea for us as believers, this idea that the big way that it shows up for us as believers is Jesus has already been victorious, Jesus has already conquered death, but it hasn't been fully realized yet. We're not yet fully there. So we've got this already, in that already, yes, Jesus has conquered death, but we still see in our world today, we still see brokenness, we still see death, we still see difficulty. And we see this, of course, in the Saul-David story where, yes, David's been anointed already, but he's not yet on the throne. And this concept is really important when we go through this passage. One of the reasons is because as we go through this passage, we'll talk about Saul being comforted, right? We're going to get there in a minute. He's in turmoil, and David comes and comforts him, right? And oftentimes when we read these kind of stories in the Bible, we'll ask ourselves, well, I could use some comfort. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring that kind of comfort to us, right? Sometimes we will be comforted, other times we won't. And there's like this already not yet disconnect where we can see the kingdom of God coming in and doing its work, but yet there's still brokenness that exists, right? So hold on to that if you're having... in your own life, if there's places where, yes, you can see God at work, that's good, but sometimes we're not going to fully realize that until Jesus returns and he makes everything right. We will have trouble, but Jesus is with us in these troubles. Okay, so then continue with our story. We get to verse 14 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. We see that God's Holy Spirit leaves King Saul, since he's no longer anointed as king, and a different spirit torments King Saul. Saul reaches out to some of his servants. He's like, hey, so I'm being tormented. What can we do? What do you guys recommend? And they say, hey, well, why don't we bring in somebody that plays the lyre? The lyre is that, you've probably seen pictures of him. It's like that little harp that's like U-shaped. I don't know how big it is. Does anybody know? This big? No? Anyway, it's like a U-shaped harp. And this is what David plays, the lyre. And so Saul's servants say, hey, why don't we bring in somebody that plays the lyre and that will comfort you? And so King Saul says, yeah, go for it. And the servants find David. They bring him in. David enters into Saul's service. Saul is quite pleased with him. And we find out that it's not just the music that soothes. There's more to David than his musical abilities. And as intended, when the spirit is tormenting Saul, David takes up his lyre and plays, and relief comes to Saul. And the spirit that torments leaves Saul. This is good. So that's the overview. Let's jump into our passage for today. Now is the time. If you have your Bible, crack it open. 1 Samuel 16, we'll read through and discuss it verse by verse. And I've got Lots to say with each verse, so hopefully you won't be too impatient, but there's lots of this. We have a big passage here, and there's a lot of stuff here, and I've tried to bring us in one big theme that's good for us, but there's lots of stuff that kind of hangs off that, so hopefully we'll be able to follow along. So starting in verse 14, "Now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him." All right, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about with this verse. First off is, a lot of you will already know this, but when we have in the Bible, when we see Lord with the small caps, right, L-O-R-D, with a small O-R-D, it's a placeholder, a replacement for God's name, Yahweh. And so by convention, most of our Bibles, rather than putting Yahweh in there, they'll put Lord with the small caps. And it's significant, and I think it's important that we recognize this when we're reading our Bibles, because this isn't just a Lord or some Lord. This is our Lord. This is the God that created us. This is the God that knows us. This is the God that loves us. And it's a specific, God, right? This is Yahweh. And we were talking about this at Sunday school a few weeks ago, in grade 4 or 5, and one of the guys was like, "What? God has a name?" And he thought this was the coolest thing ever. So I hope that we can have a similar excitement, right? Because this is cool. Yeah, God has a name, right? And he's told us what his name is. So still on verse 14 then, we also want to talk about the Holy Spirit here, right? The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit had departed from Saul. And this is different for us today. So in the Old Testament, the way the Holy Spirit worked is he would appear in different places, appear in different people's lives, appear in different people's hearts, but it wasn't like it is for us today. For us today, if you're a believer, if you are following Jesus, if you've given your life to him, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not leaving you. You don't need to be concerned about losing the Holy Spirit. It's different in the New Covenant. But in David and Saul's day, the Holy Spirit would appear at different times. And one of the places where the Holy Spirit usually appeared was if somebody was anointed as king, then the Holy Spirit would fill that person. And that's exactly what happened here. The Holy Spirit left Saul, and then we see that the Holy Spirit filled David. And it's not a case where the Holy Spirit's only one place at a time. Just like with us today, the Holy Spirit is many places, but in this case, the Holy Spirit was not in King Saul. The Holy Spirit was in King David. Okay. And this is super important in before his death, his resurrection and ascension into heaven. John 16 verse 7, Jesus told his disciples, "It's good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And in the same conversation, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." So two things here. First, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a big deal, right? It's good. It's good news. And then it was a big deal for when David was filled. It was a big deal when Saul was filled, and it's a big deal for us today. And then second, for us today, unlike in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit does not leave us. All right? So hold on to that. That's important as well. And then, still on verse 14, we've got this idea of this evil spirit. I've got a couple things about that. One is that rather than an evil spirit, it might be better rendered a spirit that brings evil. It's more about what this spirit does rather than what it is. It's a bad spirit because of its negative effect on Saul, its destructive effect on Saul. And we're not given a lot of details about this. It could be a psychological state. It could be some kind of a spirit. The text doesn't really clarify what exactly we're talking about, so there is a bit of ambiguity. But what is clear is that this is from God, and not just from any God, but from our God, Yahweh. And friends, this is where it gets real. This is important. This is where we have to contend with the fact that our God is not only the God of good days, but also of bad days too. We see this, of God being sovereign over good and evil, a lot in the Old Testament. Job made this challenge to his wife when she suggested that he reject God because he was having difficulty. And Job said, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? The idea being that God is the ultimate sovereign in both the story of Job and here with Saul. God is in control through the good and the bad. He's not just the God of the good times. The prophet Habakkuk, after protesting God's plans to use the evil Babylonian empire against Israel. And note that, I'll tell you. Habakkuk here, his complaint isn't against the Babylons. His pleading, his protesting is towards God because he knows that God is ultimately in control. And friends, this is something that we're not going to fully resolve this morning, but it's something that when we go through this passage, we see that, yes, God is sovereign over good and evil, and ultimately it's good, and it's important that we talk to God about that we plead with that we ask why is this happening, and we might not always get the answers that we want, but God does want us to be in those conversations with him. So with Habakkuk, after protesting God's plans to use the evil Babylonian Empire against Israel, he concludes, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And there, we see this lots of times in the Psalms as well from David, where he's asking God what is happening, and he concludes with this thing, but Lord, I'm going to trust in you. And so here and elsewhere in the Bible and in our own lives, it's important that we bring these things to God. Okay, and then one more thing before we continue on with our following verse. The vacuum left by the Holy Spirit's departure from Saul left room for the Spirit that brings torment. And the best way to fight off evil spirits is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to those of you that don't know Jesus. It's like if we have a bad habit, right? And we quit that habit, but we need to replace it with something else, hopefully something better. And so here for Saul, the Holy Spirit left. There was that void. The Spirit that torments filled that void. Okay, so on to verses 15 to 17. And Saul's servants said to him, behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Right? Saul's like, yeah, you're right. You guys get it. Verse 16, let our Lord now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it, and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me a man who can play well, and bring him to me. So the servants recommend that they find somebody that has the skills. Saul says, yes, find somebody that plays well. And Saul's words here, plays well, it means it's more about someone that can soothe with his music. It's about the effect rather than the skills. Saul wants somebody that can play beautiful, soothing music. And then we get to verse 18. One of the servants answered, I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And Yahweh is with him. The Lord is with him. In verse 18, one of these servants finds someone, and this musician, David, knows how to play the lyre. Knows here means that he's skilled. He's got this skill. David is proficient with the lyre. But then after the servant adds all these, tells us about his skill with the lyre, he adds on all these other characteristics of David that Saul didn't explicitly ask for. Saul asked for someone with the skills. Saul's servants know that it's not just the music that Saul needs. The right Spotify mix is not going to cut it here. And so one of Saul's servants says, David is a brave man and a warrior, right? Warrior is a funny word here because it's like a man of war, and at this point in his life, David hasn't had any real battle experience. He's had that fight with the bear, but other than that, he hasn't been on the battlefield. And I think it's because this servant, he knows David, and he's speaking not so much to what he's done, but he's speaking to who he is. And he knows that this man is a warrior. And even though that hasn't been demonstrated on the battlefield yet, he's speaking to who David is. He knew what kind of man David was. And then he continues that David speaks well, and he's handsome, he's confident, he's attractive. And this, again, is more about who he is. And both these words are deeper than just these words here, but they speak to who is this David, right? He's talking about not so much about just his skills, but about who David is. And then finally, describing David, the servant ends with this, and this is what we're really looking for. Yahweh is with him, right? The Lord is with him. He's full of the Holy Spirit. And so I contend that we've got three levels here. David's skilled at playing the lyre, right? That's what Saul asked for. And then David is human. You with me? The servant is making the case for David and appealing to who he is as a person. And then the deal clincher, David is filled with the Holy Spirit. God is with him. Let me go off on an excursion here for just a second. Yeah, let me go off on an excursion here just for a second. All right, so because when Julie and I were chatting about this, we were chatting, well, how does the Holy Spirit actually work in these kind of situations? And I got this fantastic analogy. All right, so imagine you're driving along and you've got your navigation thing. It's telling you where to go, right? And you're not paying attention. You blew past one of the turns. And it used to be, I don't know if you remember back in the day, it would say, oh, recalculating, you took a wrong turn, recalculating, and it would do its thing, and then it would tell you the next thing. Nowadays, it doesn't even tell you. It just, you blow past the turn, and your phone or your vehicle or whatever it is, it's like, hey, right, whatever, the past is the past. You blew past that turn. All right, we got to figure out from where we are, we got to figure out how we're going to get to where we're going, right? So we go past that turn. Then we miss the next one, and somehow we get way off where we're not supposed to be. And yet still, our device isn't chastising us or telling us, hey, what are you doing? Like, you keep missing the turn. It's just saying, hey, I see where you are, and I know where you are, and I know a way to get to where we got to go, right? And friends, this is what the Holy Spirit does. We assume that the Holy Spirit is chastising us and telling us, hey, is that a good one? Huh? That the Holy Spirit's like, what? Why do you skip that turn? What are you doing? But no, the Holy Spirit knows where we are, and it's like, hey, it knows where it wants to take us. And we miss that turn, but it doesn't matter. It's like maybe we're in the neighborhood we're not supposed to be in. Maybe we're at the place, the location where it's like, hey, not a good choice to be here. But the Holy Spirit still is leading us and guiding us and telling us, this is where I want you to go. This is the way to go. All right? So watch for that in your life. If you've got if you're trying to figure out what's the Holy Spirit doing. And as the Holy Spirit, we can certainly ignore the Holy Spirit and miss all those turns, but the Holy Spirit is still going to be calling us and telling us, this is the turn that I want you to take. This is the direction I want you to head. This is the plan that I have for you. You haven't gone too far off track that we can't figure out a way to get you into the place where I want you to be. I'm still at work in your life. Amen. That's good, because when Julie and I were chatting about this, and then I shared that the GPS analogy, and she's like, well, you have to include that now. That's a good one. So I'm glad I did. Thank you, Julie. So David is filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We got the kind of the three levels. David's skilled at playing the lyre. He brings his humanity to bring healing for Saul. And then the clincher, he brings the Holy Spirit. Wherever he goes, because he's full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit goes with him. And when he goes to comfort Saul, the Holy Spirit is there as well. And so we're not told who the servant is that recognized these things in David. But he knows what to look for, and he knows that these things are that these things are true of David. This relief doesn't require the perfect orchestra or the best summer mix. No, it's David's humanity that Saul needs. But that's not all. It's David's spirit-filled humanity, right? David is a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit. So last week, Pastor Aaron was on deck to preach the first part of this chapter. The part where David is anointed, and if you missed it, be sure to tune in to the recording online. And unfortunately, Aaron was feeling lousy and not able to be here that morning. So what to do? Well, he called Jerry, and Jerry read Aaron's sermon to us. And so the analogy here is not perfect, but I think it helps. So Aaron had this skill, right? He writes beautiful sermons. He does. I've been blessed by Aaron's messages. They speak to the soul. They comfort. They proclaim the good news. And sometimes they can be pretty funny. But we need more than the sermon. We need the person. And and the person I'm talking about here is Aaron, but we're building up to this, but I got to give the spoiler. The person that we're really talking about is Jesus, right? We need Jesus. And when I say that thing that we need more than the sermon, we need the person that we really need is Jesus. All right. Everybody agree with me? Yeah, that's what we need. Good. That's why we're at church. Thank you, Jesus. All right, but anyway, in the little bit I got here, we're talking about Aaron. We need more than the sermon. We need the person. And I wonder if Aaron, looking ahead to the text we're in today, noticed that he needed a brave man and a warrior who speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and he thought, Jerry is just the man to read this sermon. More than that, though, Aaron chose a person that's full of the Holy Spirit. Right? You follow in everything we do, and normally we wouldn't interchange people like this, but the message that Aaron had prepared, and it was more just about the skills that he had in putting it together, that was important, and the Holy Spirit was working through him in preparing that message, but it was also, in the delivery, it was like Aaron bringing himself, and when that wasn't available, he chose a man that had all these characteristics and ultimately was full of the Holy Spirit. Right? You following? And the same kind of thing happens with David and Saul. It's not just about his skills. It's like, no, he brings his whole self to bring healing for Saul. In everything we do, we bring our humanity, and that was true last week. That's true today. It's always true. All right, so verses 19 and 20, carrying along. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, Jesse is David's father. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. Right? So the father sends the son. The son is a shepherd. Bread and wine and a goat. These are common gifts. Then we get to verse 21, and David came to Saul and entered into his service, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, David's father, saying, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. So then we're getting to our last verse of the text here, and hopefully you've already recognized how David's humanity here is part of the solution. Right? If there's some way to produce the perfect music without David, Saul would still lose something in doing that. We could even compare that with the team that leads us in worship, right? Fantastic musicians, they bring themselves, they're each filled with the Holy Spirit. And you think through this, if any of these pieces were missing, right, we'd lose something big. And ironically, it's almost upside down. The thing that we would notice first is if the skills weren't there, that's what we would notice first, or if the team hadn't practiced or gotten together and prepared, we would notice that. And then I'd suggest that they're bringing themselves, their humanity is kind of next level. But if they weren't being themselves, we may not notice that right away, but it's important. And then the top thing, kind of being filled with the Holy Spirit, initially we might not notice that, but the ability to do the things that they need to do would be impacted, of course, and that would probably have the biggest impact, right? So we have these levels. We've got our skills, we've got ourselves, we've got the Holy Spirit, and we want to bring all these things in everything that we do. Okay, then verse 23. And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. Success. For a time, anyway. Okay, so there's a few different ways we can apply this passage. Let me build it up here a little bit. First, we're all like Saul. In different ways, we're tormented. Not in the same way as Saul is tormented, but all of us have things that we're dealing with. Some of us are in deep valleys. Others of us are dealing with hard things. Some of us are being tormented in different ways. And even as followers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit, we still know that we have difficulty. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples before his crucifixion. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we're also all like David in that we have what's needed to bring relief to others. Do you have a friend that's being tormented? Maybe you have what they need. Remember the three levels, right? David had the skills. He knew how to play the lyre. You have the skills. But it was David himself that was sent to King Saul. We can do that too, friends. We don't just bring our gifts. We bring ourselves. And sometimes another reason why this is important is because sometimes we think, oh, you know what? I don't have any skills. I don't have anything to bring. But you do. Sometimes just show up. Bring yourself, right? And in showing up, you're bringing the Holy Spirit. And I find that oftentimes that's where the biggest cost is, but still that is where we can oftentimes bring healing. And then, of course, David was full of the Spirit, and if you follow Jesus, then the Holy Spirit goes wherever you go. But you know what? Even with the Holy Spirit, David is not the best source of hope. But you know who is, right? Jesus, right? So Jesus has the skills. And just thinking of his time in Galilee, he wasn't a musician, but he was a storyteller. Right? He had this skill of just weaving together these stories that really just cut to the heart. And it seems that he could cook a tasty fish and bread on a beach fire. Right? So he had these, Jesus, he was human, and he had some different skills. But it wasn't primarily Jesus' skills that made his ministry effective. No, it was Jesus himself that came to us. Friends, Jesus is the most human person that there is. When we say he's the perfect man, or that he's 100% human, 100% God, we don't mean only that he's completely human. He is. But we also mean that he's the ultimate human, the most human of humans. And I think of David bringing himself to comfort Saul, right? We understand that. And Jesus does the same. He brings himself, his humanity, is the most human, and that's what he brings. But more than bringing himself, Jesus lays down his life, right? This is the good news that we all need to be reminded of, that Jesus entered our world fully human. He used his skills, he ministered, then he died on the cross, right? Paying the price for our sin, he died for you, but this death wasn't the end. No, he rose again with a glorified body, conquering death, and he ascended into heaven. And if you don't know this Jesus, then he's calling you. We can't fix this broken world, and we can't fix our broken lives, but Jesus can in his time. And so I encourage you to trust in him. Okay, and then three, remember the third thing that that David had? God was with him. So not only does Jesus bring the Holy Spirit, like David did, not only is God with Jesus, as God is with David, Jesus completes this in that he is God, right? How much more can you bring God into a situation if you are God? Huh? And so Jesus fulfills this this pattern in that when he comes, God comes, because he is God. He brings the Holy Spirit. He'll bring comfort in this world. He'll fill you with his Holy Spirit. If you're in torment today, call on Jesus. I love the picture that's painted in verse 19, earlier in our text. You imagine Jesus, the Son. He's with his sheep, with his people. But there's someone somewhere else that needs him, right? And we see David doing this. And this is, I think this is a beautiful picture of what Jesus does. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse, David's dad, and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Right? At the father's bidding, David, who will soon be crowned king, leaves the sheep to comfort the one who is in distress. That's good news, friends. And then, finally, we're also called to be like Saul's servants. When Saul didn't know where to look for relief, he turned to those around him, right? To the people that were serving him. It seems Saul was just looking for someone that could make the lyre sing, but his servants knew that he needed more. And we have friends around us that need Jesus. They need soothing music, and they need Jesus. Be sure that when they're asking for something, soothing music, right? Some skill or something like that. That if that's a situation where you need to bring Jesus, that you do bring Jesus, right? Let's be like Saul's friends. Okay, I'll finish with this. This passage, it's loaded with so much truth. But here's what I hope that you hear today. If you've fallen asleep, now's the time to wake up. I'll give you the three sentences that kind of summarize our message this morning. David's spirit-filled humanity brings real but temporary healing to Saul, right? Your spirit-filled humanity brings real but temporary relief to the people in your life. But this all points to the perfect humanity of Jesus, through whom eternal healing comes. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you, friends.